Numbers chapter number 11 tonight. Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers chapter number 11. We'll start reading verse number 1. All right, verse number 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou sworest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all the people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And so these next, verse 16 down through verse 29, God gives Moses a group of elders, 70 elders, to help him in dealing with these people. But if you'll look in verse number 31 right quickly, we'll read the rest of this chapter, and then we'll get started. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high, upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day. And they gathered the quails. He that gathered the least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. He called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. And so tonight, what I'd like to look at is God's solution for your complaining. God's solution for your complaining. And let me say up front, I'm thankful God doesn't deal with us like He dealt with Israel. Because if that were the case, we wouldn't have been in church tonight, I'll tell you that, okay? But let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for even these Old Testament pictures and these usages, even in Israel's life, how they're examples to us, they're warnings to us. Lord, about the high cost of what we might view as small things. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd encourage us tonight. And, Lord, thank You for the opportunity again to be in Your house. And, Lord, bless Your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. A few months ago, I was given the privilege, my father and I, we took a missions trip and we went to the Philippines to visit one of our missionaries that our church has supported for, say, almost 20 years. And while we were in the Philippines, we saw many things that affected us. But one of the things that kind of stood out to me as my dad and I, every night we stayed somewhere different. We'd cram ourselves into just a little room that, honestly, I'd grown up with bedrooms bigger than the rooms me and my father stayed in. But the missionary was really doing the very best according to their standards. And the things that we ate, and I remember one particular morning, we asked him, we ate at some place, and where do they get all this meat? He said, well, come with me, I'll show you. And so we went down to their marketplace in the little village we were at, and there hanging just row upon row was meat and chicken and no refrigeration and flies and dogs and everything you can imagine hanging there with it. And my dad and I looked, we ate that? Oh yeah, you ate that. He said, but what they do, these restaurants, they go early so they can get it fresh, and then everybody else gets sick on the late stuff, okay? The food was, I thought it was really good. I didn't have any complaints. But I understood the reason we even went was to see everything that we'd ever heard. And it was true. It was a third world country. They didn't have the things we have. But I'll tell you, there wasn't a church that had a sweeter spirit. We were there on a Saturday night. They had a prayer meeting together, church family, probably 65 or 70 of them, just got around together for 2.5 hours and sang and thanked the Lord for what they were given. And I was sitting in the corner sweating and hot and miserable. There was no air conditioning. Me and my dad were just two little whipped dogs over in the corner panting, and they're just praising the Lord. And so it showed me that you don't have to have everything to be thankful. You don't have to have a car. Now, most of those people walk to church, or we picked them up on a little go-kart, I'd call it. It was just a little motorcycle with the sidecar. And we literally, there was one time we had 15 of us on there picking up people for church. I was climbed up on the top. I was holding her down, okay? And so I tell you, it was eye-opening. You see all the people, but they're as genuine as I've ever seen. Because obviously they don't know anything else. That's their livelihood. They've just learned in whatsoever state they were, they're content. They don't mind. But yet even I found myself in laying down at night and just thinking, boy, it sure would be nice to be home right now. It's really hot right here. And something's crawling on my pillow, and I don't know what it is. And even in just the short exposure time of being there, even the heart that I had sometimes of complaining about my situation, like it was real bad, but it really wasn't. And when I got back home, it really gave me a great appreciation to be an American, number one, but also to see that God blesses people in many different ways. He might not bless those people with the comforts that we have or the things that we're going to go home tonight with, but He still blesses them in a spiritual sense in the same exact way, and they have the same opportunity that we have to praise Him for it. What you're finding here in the book of Numbers is a group of people, and it just says it right off the top in verse number 1, and when the people complained. God had shown Himself time and time again to this point in Israel's life already. Hey, I'm going to take care of you. Whatever you go through, whatever happens, I'm going to make sure you're okay. I'm going to lead you with a pillar of cloud by day. I'm going to lead you with a pillar of fire by night. Any obstacle that you face, if you'll just trust me, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you. It might not be exactly what you want. It might not be filet mignon and lobster every night. He said, but I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. And so Israel had been about 2 years removed from Egypt at this point. And so they weren't far off. If you look back in verse 33 of the last chapter, they departed from the Mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. They weren't far off from Mount Sinai, where God gave them the law, where God gave them the thing by which they'd be governed. And they were just 3 days from the Mount of the Lord, where God so showed Himself to Moses that Moses couldn't even walk down and face the people. He had to cover himself. God had so revealed Himself that Moses could not even really explain to the people what he had encountered. And so the people began to complain. But it gets worse. They complain, and they cry unto Moses. They go and complain to Moses. And they're complaining. I don't even really know why they're complaining. It's not like they're hungry. But they're complaining because of the things they don't have. They said, because we took this step of faith and walked out with God of Egypt, now we've destituted ourselves to the wilderness. Now we're going to come out here, Moses, and you brought us out here to kill us. Would to God, some of them said, we'd been back in Egypt, back in bondage, back in captivity. We remember, verse number 5, some of them said, the fish, which we did eat freely in Egypt, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and garlics and onions. To me, that sounds nasty anyway. I don't like garlic, really. It's just, ugh. I'm not a big fish eater either, although I'm trying to learn how to like it. But Israel, they were in such a pitiful condition right here. They said, man, could we just go back to Egypt? We ate so much better back there. When God said what they were eating, it was cake. I mean, I'd love to eat cake every day and live. You could eat cake every day, but you're not going to live a long time on earth, let me tell you that. And so there was these group of people. They cried unto Moses. The fire of God fell when they complained. So Moses cried out to God, Lord, would you please show mercy? So the Lord shows mercy on behalf of the prayer of Moses. And so it's bad enough that there's a group of people that were complaining, but to see literally the people complained, God got angry, he struck them with fire, and they literally, there was nothing left of them. The Bible says they were consumed. There wasn't a trace of them. Might have been a little greasy spot in the sand for all we know. They weren't even, it's like they didn't even exist. And if I was standing there and saw that, I would probably not complain again. But the mixed multitude that was among them, in verse 4, fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again. Who shall give us flesh to eat? In verse 6, their cry is, our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Can you kind of see the disdain they have in their voice? All we've got is manna. Every day we get up, there's manna. Every morning we wake up, what's on the ground? Manna. Well, what do you know? Another day of manna. God's provision. They were looking at every day God's provision and saying, wow, manna again. Great. I wish I could go back to Egypt and have something with a little more flavor, have something with a little more variety. And you know, when you're trying to do something God's way and God tells you to do something and He's providing for you and you still complain, I'm not real sure what more you need. Because I look across even some of the folks that I deal with from time to time. They're Christian folks, and they're complaining. And they're complaining maybe about the way one of their children are acting or just some maybe a little petty thing in their life, maybe their job. And I'm thinking, you know, it could be worse. And you hate to say that to people because everybody in their mind always thinks what's happening to them is the worst. And we think that way. That's the way we're wired. But it's harder to look across the aisle, so to speak, and to look at someone that has it far worse than you, and for you to really have a dose of reality and think, why am I complaining? My little thing is insignificant compared to what those folks have to go through. Why am I complaining about my situation? Why am I complaining about what I have or don't have when I have far more? God's blessed me far greater. And so when the people began to complain, obviously God was upset, but they were unsatisfied. They began to think about how good it was in Egypt. How good. And I think that even there's some times in our life, if we don't watch, that we think, and I've thought this, man, how good it would be. Sarah asked me the other day what I wanted for my birthday. And I told her, and I was being serious, I said, I just want a day by myself, like it used to be. And that's what I said.
And so Friday, I said, babe, what'd you get me for my birthday? She said, well, the kids are going to stay with the grandparents, and I'm going to go out, and you can be at home by yourself. And I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. And I thought that's what I wanted. And about 2 hours into that, I'm tired of reading. There wasn't any good ball games on. I was sitting there bored. So I did what bored people do. I just lay down and took a nap till she got home. Because honestly, here's what I thought. Man, it'd be nice not to have kids today. It'd be nice to be like it used to be when I was single, when I could do whatever I wanted, when I could just sit around. And I did that for about 2 hours, and I tell you, it was miserable. That's kind of how these folks were. They did not realize how good they had it. So they thought back to how it used to be. And they said, if I could just go back to how it used to be, oh man, it'd be so much better. If I could go back to Egypt, yeah, that'd be a lot better. Getting beat almost to death, having no food, not getting taken care of, no one caring about you, you're just a number, you're just a slave. That sounds a lot better, but that's what they thought. That's what they thought. And so the reality is, one man said this, grumbling and complaining is not ultimately the heart's response to the circumstance, but it's the response to God. Now, we can complain about bills that we have to pay, about little maybe health things that we have to go through, small things, even minor things. And I don't view that in light of what Israel was complaining about to be a big issue. But there are some things that you ought not to complain about. And so these folks were basically complaining about what God had provided for them. Now, there's some things in life that God has provided for me that if I don't watch, I'll complain about. That if I don't watch very closely, I'll complain to the point that I'll wish it was different. That I'll get so sick of it that I'll say, would to God I could go back to how it used to be when I didn't have these provisions, when I didn't have these quote-unquote blessings in my life. And so the people were complaining about the food. And then you look at verse number 10, Moses starts complaining about the people. So you see the dynamic here. If we could just use this church for example, not that I have no idea about this church, I don't know. But let's just say for sake of illustration, you start complaining about the preaching, and then the preacher starts complaining about the listening. And everybody starts complaining about one another. You understand what happens there? And it doesn't have to be voiced vocally. It could be an inward thing, a grumbling. It could be a grumbling within your own heart. Boy, if we just... And then it rubbed off on Moses to the point, he said, God, if these people aren't going to be thankful and they're not going to listen, just kill me. Take me out of the equation. He said, it's not my job to provide food for these people. Who told me I was supposed to be the one to lead them through all this? He said, if thus this, deal with me this way. He just said, kill me out of sight. Just take me out of the picture. He said, I'm tired of listening to these people complaining. That's all they want to do is complain. And Moses began complaining. So we have people complaining about food. We have Moses complaining about people. And they're both of their complaints centered on this thought. God is not enough. I need some more. I need something else. And so the Lord takes care of Moses. The Lord in verse number 16 said unto Moses, Moses, I hear your complaint. You're overwhelmed. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you 70 good men that'll help you deal with the affairs of the people. He said, I'm going to give you men that... to be elders of the people, and I'll set them up so that they can take care of some of the things that you have to take care of from time to time. And so God says in verse number 15, if you want more for the people looked at Moses. And in verse number 11, they said, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? What did the people want? Here's what they thought they wanted. They wanted quail. Okay? They were tired of eating bread. They wanted some quail. They wanted some meat. And so the Lord said, okay, if you want some meat, verse number 31, he said, there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought forth quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And so the Lord sends them quail. He sends them, this is how much quail he sends them. He sends them quail from here to Texas. That's about how far it was. Day's journey for them, maybe not that far, but it was a vast distance. He said, I'm going to send it 2 cubits high. And here's how bad it was. In verse number 32, said the people stood up all that day, all that night, and all the next day. And I don't believe they stood up just because they were excited that they got quail. I believe they stood up because they couldn't sit down. There was quail piled everywhere. It was everywhere. It was so much that the Bible says, he that gathered the least gathered 10 homers. 10 homers is equal to about 2 55-gallon drums of quail per person. God said, okay, I've heard your complaint, Israel. He said, I'm going to give you what you think you want. Here's all your quail. And so if the least man in Israel, the smallest little boy in Israel, gathered 10 homers, the little boy picked up quail that the Bible says, from what I've read, the type of quail in that area, they weren't about as long as my hand. They weighed about 5 ounces a piece, maybe. But they picked them up until they filled up about 2 55-gallon drums. So they had, every man, about 120 pounds of quail. And it's almost like God said, here, eat. And they're all excited about it. They've stood up for two and a half days picking up birds. And so while the flesh was yet being between their teeth, I'm sure they were eating it. They were excited about it. Man, this is exactly what we wanted. I'm so glad God came through again. He's faithful. He's given us exactly what we need. Said the anger, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. I don't know what that might ring in your ears to be, but here's what I believe this would teach us tonight. They grew tired of what God was providing for them, and they wanted something new. They wanted something more. Now listen to me. We look at our country. We've got that thing going on Monday night. That's just a small thing that's going on in the vast whole of our society and our country. But do you know, in regards to marriage, do you know what God has said about marriage? Well, He said it a long time ago. Male and female created He them, and He brought them together. That's as clear and as simple as anybody can make it. God made man, God made woman. He made man, He made woman to go together and stay together. That's pretty simple. But our country says this, no, we need something new. We need something that's exciting. We need something that's relevant to our culture. And so our society looks at God, or maybe they say, well, there's not really a God out there, so why does it matter what you people think? Here's what we should be doing. Here's how to be relevant in our society. Give us something new. And so they say, well, let us marry each other. And here's what happens. God says, okay, go ahead. Have marriage your way. And they're getting it their way. And you know what's happening? Well, disease is rampant in our country. They don't want us to know that. But it's worse than many third world countries. The things that we go through. Poverty is becoming awful in America. Nobody wants to work. Everybody wants to rely on the government. Nobody has a work ethic any longer. Young people aren't learning how to work at a young age because everyone's looking and saying, God, just give us what we want. And God's saying, okay, here. I've told you what's good for you. I've given you manna that will sustain you for the entirety of your life. I've given you manna. What's that look like in marriage? Well, I believe it's a man and a woman. He said, there's your manna. But so many are saying, would to God we could have something else. And God's just saying, okay, there you go. You think about the Word of God. I believe God's given us the Bible we need as English-speaking people. The King James Bible. I love it. I don't need another one. But here's the thing. There are many people, yea, many churches that say, you know, that thing's a little bit antiquated. It's a little bit old-fashioned. It's a little bit hard to read. Let's get something different. God said, here's your manna. But hey, said, I really would like something to go with that. I'm getting a little tired of just manna. Can I have a little bit more? Okay, there you go. Now that we have churches that don't even call themselves churches, we have people that don't even refer to themselves as Christians. They call themselves something else. And we have these movements coming across the country that these people over here that don't believe anything want us over here that believe strongly on a lot of things to just kind of blend and meld together and just everybody get along and sing kumbaya and just come together and not judge anybody. And God says, if you want that, there you go. You can have it. But you know what's going to happen one day? While they're living in their marriages, while they're reading from their quote-unquote Bibles, while they're doing those things, God's going to judge one day. Amen. He's not going to be made a mockery. He's not going to be made a fool. But He will give you what you want. Young person, I don't know what you're complaining about. Some of you all complaining about your parents. Some of you all complaining about the authorities that are in your life. Would to God I could just get out of here and be free. You know, one day God's going to let you. He's going to say, okay, there you go. Manna's not good enough right here. Go figure it out then. And you're going to find out that life on the other side of a home that is you get everything provided for you is a lot more difficult. In regards to relationships, dating, for example. I might be a little old-fashioned on this, but in high school, I never dated. Never was looking. Wasn't worried about it. I had a few months, well, about a year, where I just really was not wanting to do what God wanted me to do and found a relationship that I had no business being in, and found myself in some situations I had no clue how to respond many times. But the Lord, through that, protected me. But it was me saying, God, my manna isn't good enough. Mom and Dad told me, son, don't worry about that. Lord will take care of it. You just serve Him. No, I want something. But the Lord said, here's what I've provided for you. If you'll just take it, it'll be that which sustains you. But now, young people, they always got to have somebody to talk to. They always have somebody to snap with. They always got to have somebody in their life that makes them feel good about themselves. They've always got to have some kind of interaction like that. They've always got to mingle around, to get real close. They think that's the way to find the right person. They think they have to be the one that's active, doing all the work, doing all the looking, doing all the searching, talking to all the people. My friend, God said, here is your provision. You just wait, and I'll provide. You just be patient, and I will bring. But we don't like that. We don't like waiting. We don't. But I'll tell you, young person, if you wait, if you'll just be patient, you don't get ahead of the Lord. He'll give you something far better than you'll ever find on your own. He'll give you something far more exciting than you'll ever find out there in the world. Because God's way is a way that God said, I will satisfy and I will provide every time. So you think about your church. Some people begin to grow tired of the church that they're in. Some people begin to complain about the church that they're in. And there's validation for some. But for a lot of people, it's just simply they say, I grow tired of this old way of worship, of this old way of God. I want something more. And so God's given them the manna, and they complain about it. They said, I would to God I could have something new. And they go off searching for something else. You know, the thing that I appreciate the most about the Lord is He doesn't always give us what we think we want or what we think we need. He gave Israel what they thought they wanted. He said, you want quail? Okay, here you go. But the problem that Israel had in this point in their life, and I'm not sure they have yet to learn that God is faithful. They will learn it one day, but they've not fully learned that yet. They were walking through the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years they walked around in a circle and never got anywhere. For 40 years they wore the same shoes. For 40 years they had on the same clothes. For 40 years they ate the same thing. And do you know what they did at the end? They complained again. And God said, okay, you old folks that are now old and gray, that were young when you came, you're not going to the promised land. Because of your murmuring and your complaining, you're going to stay in the wilderness and die. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let your children go in. And so what it boils down to tonight is simply, what are you complaining about? What manna has God given you that's worth complaining about? What kind of manna in your marriage has God given you? He's given you something good, I hope, but you can still find a way to complain about it. God's given you a church. What are you complaining about? God's given you friends and relationships and work. What are you complaining about? God's given you children that He wants you to grow and teach and grow them in the admonition of the Lord. What are you complaining about? So many times we look and say, would to God I could have it this way. But God said, if you'll just do it the way I've told you and the way I've provided for you, it'll be the best way. It's not the easiest way. It's not the most joyous way many times, but it's the way God wants it. He wants His people to wholly follow Him and what? Just be thankful. That's all He wants more than anything. He wants you to be thankful for what He's blessed you with, what He's provided you with, and if we could just learn to be thankful, it would nullify a lot of the grumbling that we do from time to time. What manna? Israel said, what manna is this? Well, it was God's manna that He had sent to provide for God's people. He's given us everything we need, folks. We just have to fully trust Him and obey. Be thankful. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the time that we've had to read in it. Lord, I do pray that You'd bless, Lord, these people. Lord, I'm thankful for them. And Lord, I do pray that You'd help us all. Lord, we could all, Lord, get in the Psalms and read some of those Thanksgiving Psalms. Lord, even think about Paul and many in the New Testament that were just thankful regardless of where they were. And Lord, I do thank You for Your blessings on our lives. Lord, thank You, Lord, for just the ability to stand and read Your Word again. You bless us now as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.